Welcome to Our Sleeve Life podcast, hosted by Kelly and Mel, two lifelong friends who took control of their lives by having gastric sleeve surgery 5 years apart. This podcast is really for you, our listeners, whether you're pre-op, post-op, maintaining, being a support person, or maybe none of these. But this is your podcast. Now it's time for the show. So welcome back. So this half is going to be about body dysmorphia, just strictly on the disorder and all the random disorders that can come about during post-op.
Which the medical term for body dysmorphia is BDD, body dysmorphia disorder.
And we're going to have links and definitions on the website. So we got you guys covered.
Yep.
For stuff you might not know.
All right. So the first thing is that there are very different levels of BDD.
Mm-hmm.
There is very mild, and then there's all the way up to extreme.
Okay.
BDD does not discriminate against weight, size, gender, etc.
Yeah.
So it can happen to a male, female. You could be a really high weight, you could be really low weight. It does not matter. Right. You can still have BDD.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So with body dysmorphia, I kind of want to define it. So it's a mental illness involving obsessive focus on a perceived flaw in your appearance.
Yes.
Okay. So we've talked about this kind of significantly, like where the mirror thing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So I know that I've lost weight.
Right.
It's obvious. But when I look in the mirror or when I look down at my legs or that I have a little excess skin on my stomach, I see that I'm still 265 pounds, not 147.
Right.
Even though I know logically that I am smaller, in my brain, when I see those things, I'm like, oh, nope, I'm 265 still.
Yeah. What do you do to snap out of it?
I usually do like a side-by-side, which is a before photo and an after photo. And that really kind of snaps me back into reality of you are not the same size.
Yeah.
And you're doing really well. And I tend to talk to myself about, like, in my head when I'm going through these moments of, oh, I just gained 150 pounds back overnight, which is not accurate.
It's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. Even if you have a bad food day, it's not going to happen. You're not going to gain all 100 pounds back in one night.
Right.
It's like, not reality.
You know how nerdy I get with numbers.
Yeah.
Like, so 1 pound is 3,500 calories.
Yeah.
And it, like, that's what it equivalents to. So when I'd have those days where I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm like going to gain a bunch of weight in the morning or whatever. I just feel bloated or just like, just not feeling good that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll have to like go through kind of what I've ate.
Yeah.
And start adding it up. And it's like 1600 calories. And you're like, okay, there's, what am I doing here? Why am I stressing out over this? Like, I can't even gain a pound right now if I wanted to.
Exactly.
So I have to check myself with numbers is what gets me back in it.
Yes.
So like the mirror thing, like it lies to me all the time. So
you have the same experience as I do.
Yeah. Like, with, I don't think that one goes for any, like doesn't discriminate at all. Like that has to be a thing for everybody.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So. I think, well, and again, referring back to part one, which is mind over body, you know, it's hard for your brain to catch back up.
Yeah.
Because you are losing so quickly and over a short amount of time, your brain doesn't know what's going on.
No, and especially for you, because you lost 117 pounds
in 10 months. Yeah. And literally the last month, I've probably lost 3, maybe 4 pounds. So, I mean, really, that was the majority chunk of 117 pounds was within 8 to 9 months.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
So there is no way you could be like caught up to that because it took me like a year and a half, year and 3/4 or whatever to get to that point.
Yeah.
So Like that, and I'm still effed
you
up
still
from
battle
it.
With it.
I still
yeah.
battle with it
yeah.
to this day. Like, cause yeah, same thing. Like, as I went to Dylan's birthday party,
yeah.
I had to wear a swimsuit, which I feel good in a swimsuit now.
Yeah.
Like, I like them.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, saw in the damn mirror.
And you're like, oh, I'm 300 pounds again. That's
well,
it.
It was my legs. I was like, oh, my damn legs.
Yeah.
And then like, but then I actually am there and I see them on yeah. a different set of mirrors.
Yeah.
But it's funny because all you could see was the bottom half of me. You couldn't see because it was just a low mirror. And it was interesting where I, when I saw my legs, I was like, those are nice legs. Oh, those are my legs. And I realized, oh, because I can't see my face. Like I can't. It's all disconnected now.
Yeah.
So, like, I was able to actually, like, compliment for what they were.
Interesting.
So, yeah, your eyesight definitely messed. Well, not eyesight, but your brain.
Your brain, eyesight,
body dysmorphia is
all of that.
For real. For real.
Yeah. And so, I mean, really, during that time is your, it's called body image adjustment. So,
okay.
your brain and eyes have to recalibrate to what they're seeing. And
how long can that take?
There's no time limit.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah.
I knew that answer for you.
Yeah, yeah. Because, but. I mean, really, you can't say clinically, this is only going to happen for a year.
Right.
Because legitimately, you're 5 years out and you have not hit your goal weight, which
yeah.
there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But you're still battling
I'm
with
battling
it.
Battling it, though. Yeah.
So, I mean, 5 years out, you're still dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 10 months out. I'm still dealing with it.
Right.
So there is no time limit.
Oh, sorry. My husband's calling. Hold on.
Hello?
I just heard Kelly. You're still over there?
Yeah. You're right. Actually on the podcast right now.
Hey, buddy. Am I early?
Yeah, say hi.
Hi.
Okay. Cool beans. All right. Love you.
What were we talking about?
Oh, okay. So the flaw can be as tiny as your brain wants, apparently.
Okay.
So like there was another thing was that the flaw may be minor or imagined, but the person may spend hours a day trying to fix it.
Oh, okay.
So like those bodybuilders, like that's a thing for them too. Like it's not just for weight loss. It's like
definitely.
Body dysmorphia will like mess some of those guys up because they just keep pushing and pushing and like cause their body to go through a lot of damage that doesn't need to go to because of the body dysmorphia.
Yeah,
so.
Because they don't see that they're bulking up.
Yeah, no.
They still see the person that before.
Yeah. Like some of them taking steroids so that way they can get even bigger. Like they're just going to drastic ways and that's just...
Yeah. Well, and I think that also goes along with plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Plastic surgery, you get plastic surgery to quote unquote fix yourself.
Yeah.
So if you're not, which I think is another reason why I actually, backstory, we have a friend of ours, me and my husband's, she had plastic surgery.
Okay.
But before she did, she went and visited a plastic surgeon and they said that they would not do surgery on her. Until she was about, I think it was 3 years out from her weight loss journey.
Okay.
So, because I think in their, you know, way of thinking is that they want you to be completely settled.
Yeah.
In
you think you're optimal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, brain-wise, you're thinking, I need to fix this as soon as possible because I want to look perfect.
Yeah.
And the reality is nobody's perfect.
No.
Everybody has something. Even girls that you see or guys that you see that you're like, wow, they are perfect. They're not perfect. They don't see themselves like that.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, they just don't see themselves as we see them. So it's the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I look at you and I think you're amazing just the way you are.
Yeah.
And, but you may see something completely different.
Right. I'd be like, I need to fix this and this and this.
Exactly.
It's like, I don't even do any of that. So we're down.
Yep.
But
exactly.
That's the biggest problem with the body dysmorphia itself.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, I mean, going right next to, I mean, everybody can have it. Whether you're a weight loss surgery patient, you're a bodybuilder, you're somebody that just wants to get plastic surgery because you don't like your nose or you don't like your arms or whatever.
What I thought was interesting when I was reading about this was It's also about like when you compete with others, like compare yourself, not compete, but you compare yourself with others.
Interesting.
Is part of the body dysmorphia. So like, I can totally relate to that one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How?
Because like, I always wanted to be smaller. So I'm just like, hey, if I get to that weight, I'll be fine. If I get to, if I look like that, then I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, let's get to that point. It was never like, I don't think I actually like, picked a person because you know how some people will have like those vision boards or whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll have like the body type or whatever. I didn't have anything like that. I just was like, okay, I need to be smaller, basically, and curvier.
So
that's kind of my thing. I wanted to be more girly. That's probably why you see me be more girly.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's something that you can fix. I mean, if you want to be girly.
But I thought that being big didn't meant that you couldn't be girly.
I can get that.
Yeah.
I can understand.
It's so much harder being girly when you're bigger.
It is.
At least that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Because it's so much easier now.
Yeah.
All I have to do is walk into a store, which I still go to like the wrong size.
Yes, I do too.
We were going to talk about that. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually went shopping. shopping is a huge addiction once you've lost weight. I went shopping and I spend so much money on buying new clothes. So just as a PSA for all of you out there, if you are in the midst of your weight loss journey, try to go as long as you can without buying clothes.
Yeah. And then thrift stores.
Yeah. I waited until literally last week to go try thrift stores for clothes. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So cool. Like, I got a shirt, and it's so comfortable for $3.
Yeah, they're $3. Out there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, try those first. I mean, literally coming from somebody who spent a lot of money buying new clothes every couple of weeks.
Well, when you're rapidly losing weight like that, the thrift stores are perfect.
Exactly.
Now you can go spend just $3, $5.
Exactly.
And get a new size.
Exactly. So. I got like half a wardrobe for $80.
That's amazing.
I spend that on two pairs of pants.
I was going to say, yeah, like my jeans, I get two for $80.
Exactly. Yeah, we get the same brand.
Yeah, we
which
do.
Is Levi's. Which, and they're amazing.
Yeah, Levi's. Levi's, sorry, I said that weirdly. Oddly. Anyway, Levi's high-waisted is where it's at.
Yes. And so. Because they hold, like, they hold your stomach in, but then they're a little bit more stretchy in the legs.
Yeah.
So you got a little bit more give, but it holds your tummy in.
Which, I think it's good for weight loss people because of how fast you lose and the skin that can happen with that. Like, it helps hold that in and you can look smoother and feel more comfortable.
I completely agree with that. So
they're my jam.
Back to you thinking that if you were just this, you'd be fat.
Right.
You'd be happy.
Right.
If you were just this, this comparing would make you.
Me. Yeah.
So I actually came across this quote when I was doing research for this episode. And it said, it took me a year and a half to realize that the reason I was never satisfied with how I looked and obsessing over what I saw in the mirror was because I never dealt with the real problem.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think hits really close to home for a lot of us.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, BDD can be treated with therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think coming from somebody who had a lot of therapy before I had surgery.
Yes.
We talked about this in the last episode. But I came to grips with a lot of things that were going on that I didn't even realize were going on until I came to grips with them. And I think you didn't have the same therapy.
No, so I didn't have any therapy.
That kind of contributed to you obsessing a little bit more about like, if I could just get here, I'd be happy.
Yeah. Cause I had no one to talk to.
Yeah. If you had that therapy, it probably would have.
Probably would have helped.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to deny that.
Do you ever think about going now?
No, because I do this.
Oh, well, you heard it here first.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, I just thought that quote really kind of hit home with the emphasis of what BDD is. You're obsessing over these things.
Or avoiding.
Or avoiding.
Yeah.
Completely.
There's avoiding social situations or photos.
Yes.
is a thing. So you're just like, I just won't go to that party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to take a photo with that person.
Yeah.
Like, not happening.
Yeah.
So, like, that's, it's funny, this list that I found, because I have a lot of them. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Totally got you there. Yeah, because like, that one's for sure.
Yeah. So there was a lot when I was doing research that I was like, oh, yeah, I totally have that. Like, oh, yeah, I do that on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So I think that even though, like, us going through our lists
mm-hmm.
and we're saying, oh, you have completely different lists than I do.
Yeah.
But we're still going through the same thing.
Yeah, we're still experiencing the same thing.
It, whether it's a mild or an extreme.
Yeah.
Something else that we kind of touched on in episode 6, which is non-scale victories. I use those to kind of retrain my brain.
Okay.
Because I try to focus, because a lot of our journey is focused on what your weight is.
Yeah.
How many inches you've lost. You know, I see people all the time on Instagram post, I'm 3 weeks post-op and I've only lost 15 pounds. What's wrong with me? Like,
no.
Yeah. And, but it's a very real fear. Yeah, I mean, I had it at the beginning. I was like, I'm going to be one of those few that just don't lose anything. And which is not accurate. I totally thought that too. It's not accurate. No. People say that. And then, but what you really need to do is focus on your non-scale victories.
Yeah.
So, you know, oh, I parked my car further away and walked into the mm-hmm. store. Or I was able to fit into a size 4 jean. Or, I mean, even if you were a size 20 and you went down one size of in a pant size.
That's a victory.
That's a victory. Like, yeah. Where were you even 3 months ago?
Yeah.
You know? So I think that has really helped train my brain of where are you at? And don't get me wrong, I still have issues with it every day. But when I start to think about it, I'm like, okay, but where am I at?
Yeah, because I didn't even know what these were until you told me about these NSV things. I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, okay. I started listening to those mm-hmm. things in my head, but I wish I would have, like, more hyper aware of what it was.
Yeah.
Because then I would have enjoyed that victory.
Yeah.
A little bit more. Yeah.
But, so. I mean, but you're enjoying them as you remember them.
Oh, totally.
So you're still enjoying the non-scale victories, whether it happened 5 years ago or yesterday.
Yeah.
So, which is, I mean, it just proves the point that no matter where you're at with non-scale victory, they can help retrain your brain and it can make you excited about your journey again.
Well, and when you're doing the workout part, and that's actually part of like the brain chemistry, is that you are making like new neurotransmitters and like the pathways are changing. So it's helping you be more positive and more energy and things like that. So, it's just the whole thing is kind of interesting because you don't realize like all these things are connected and that eventually the mirror should go away. The problem with the mirror.
Yeah.
It does say that it can be a lifelong thing and there's no cure for this.
No.
So you just have to work through it.
Yeah.
But
and I think it has to do with too, have you been overweight your entire life versus only a short period of time? Which we will go into extensively at the end of the season. But, you know, being overweight your entire life, I think your whole, of course my dog would bark right now.
Of course,
if you're overweight your entire life, I feel like your brain has been trained from day one to think of yourself like in this certain body.
Yes.
And then when you lose all your weight, you're like, whoa, what's going on?
Where'd my body go?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I was thinner in high school and my early 20s and then gained dramatically through my 20s.
Yeah.
And then now I've lost in my early 30s. So my brain is kind of like on this up, down type of journey.
Just trying to catch up with you.
Exactly. So I think it's going to... I'm optimistic that it'll be fine as long as I start, like, just keep thinking positive, keep focusing on those non-scale victories.
Yeah. Yeah, because I just thought of one.
Yeah.
Your shadow.
My shadow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Your shadow is way thinner.
Yeah. When you first see it and you're like, I look like a normal person when I walk.
I wish you guys had seen her do that because that was awesome. It was like kind of Valley Girl. I loved it.
Because that's how excited I was. That was like one of the big ones. I can't believe I forgot. But that's okay. There. One of the other things was like the reason why you lose weight in the beginning, like what your thought processes actually affect your afterwards.
Really?
So I was reading about how, like, if you're doing it for someone else or if you're doing it because of the social norms are telling you you should,
that makes sense.
It's going to affect how the outcome is going to happen for you. Like, because you're going in with a mindset that is not positive. So, of course, you're going to have, like, not the greatest outcome.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah. So. No, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Oh, and this other thing was interesting. It's called phantom fat.
Oh, okay.
So when you still feel oversized, even after losing weight. So that's actually the technical term for what we're feeling. So
that's where I'm at. Yeah.
So we're in the you're in the phantom fat stage.
Phantom fat. I'm actually writing it down so I can look more into it because that's pretty interesting.
I do have a link for everybody.
Okay.
On that one. So you'll get that on the episode guide.
Awesome.
So part of body dysmorphia that you can develop. Anxiety disorder, mood disorder, and depression.
Yes.
So that falls all together in one. And I thought that was pretty interesting because it's so, I feel a lot of those. So
yeah.
Been down that road.
Well, and you didn't really have a whole lot of that before you had surgery.
No.
Of anxiety and depression and stuff like that.
Mm-mm.
Which, so it makes complete sense that you would have surgery and along with BDD, you would develop these anxiety.
That's, you're right.
Oh, you made that face.
I made the face because you're right. Because it's like, I didn't have, because I was getting mad. I realized I didn't have feelings until weight loss surgery.
You had feelings.
I know.
You're but like, pants.
Now, like, I can actually articulate the feeling.
Yeah.
So that's what's changed with this process.
I feel like you were always smart, but I think you've gone through a lot more research with this, especially doing this podcast. We've done a lot of research to make sure that we're getting the correct information out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of realizing these things and you can articulate your feelings so much better now.
So much better.
Because you're like, oh, that is anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did have a little bit of a depressed state today.
Yeah.
But whereas before you're like, what is that? I don't understand. Let's just move on.
Mm-hmm. And then I connected back to what my food was the day before. Because then I was like, oh, I didn't have enough protein.
Yep.
I had too many carbs. Yep. I actually got 5 hours of sleep. But like realizing, if you start connecting the dots that you can control your mood and just make sure you get all the water that you're supposed to get in a day and
get up and move.
Yeah. Move around. Like we're meant to move. That's why we have legs.
Yep.
Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, let's go do stuff.
The days that I am home more, I tend to drink more water.
That's good.
And so I can always tell, number one, with my weight, because I always have a drop after I've flushed my system out.
See?
And I can also tell with my mood. I'm in a better mood or I'm alert more when I have completely hydrated myself the day before.
Yep.
Versus when I'm at work and I don't drink anything all day.
And you can feel the difference. I think that's the thing is like,
yes.
People need to write kind of maybe if you don't feel the difference, start writing stuff down.
Yeah.
So you can actually track it and see because it really is a thing.
Yeah. So. It is completely a thing.
Yeah.
Like just try to stay as in tune to your body as possible and slowly things will click. You will notice like, just like Melanie said, you will start to notice like, oh, I had a couple fries yesterday. I feel a little sluggish today.
Mm-hmm.
Like all those little steps are going to correlate together and make you successful. I think because like, even I know, like if I flush my system out, I'm going to have a better weight day the next day.
Yeah.
Which, you know, shouldn't be all based on weight, but it unfortunately, that's how you track how you're doing for the most part.
Yeah. I think when you get further along, it does now I track by mood. So
it's you're like a mood ring.
I want to know how to make myself not feel all anxiety.
Sorry, I totally.
Without pills. Like, that's the biggest deal.
I choked myself up with that one a little bit. Oh, my God.
Are you laughing at your own joke over there? You're hilarious.
Oh, I just envisioned you, like, turning red or purple to show your mood.
All right, valid, valid point. Okay. What is that movie? With the feelings for the kids? Oh, it's a Pixar movie, maybe?
Oh, Disney? What is it called?
What?
Inside Out.
Yeah, Inside Out. Yeah.
Marcus, our producer, for the win.
Sweet. So I pictured, like, one of those emotional ones.
Yeah. I love it. Okay.
So that's good.
All right. That's over with.
So also, I read that if you go into it with, like, low self-esteem or having problems with being perfection, like, being a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and already a loner or likes to be isolated.
Yeah, okay.
That could be a problem.
An introvert.
Yeah. So okay. I get why they do the psychological test. I'm happy about what they do now for patients because it's different than what I got. And it seems like it worked better for you emotionally.
Yes, for sure.
Props to them for fixing that.
Yeah. Well, and every office is different.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we are going to interview actually Mel's surgeon.
We are in season two.
And so that could be a question that we ask her.
Yeah. Like, when did they change?
What the difference between 5 years ago is and what it is now.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to email, comment, send us any messages because we can add that in for her.
So, most definitely.
Yeah. So definitely send those in.
So another point is sharing my story.
Yeah.
On social media. So whether or social media or in person also kind of helps me retrain what's going on with my body dysmorphia. Because as I share it, I realize how far I've come.
Yeah.
So.
Because even my mom sees your posts or some of my other friends and they're like, she's so hard on herself.
Yeah.
Like, she's doing great. Why is she thinking, like, only lost 3 pounds this week?
I know. And only that's exactly my point.
Yeah. They're like, the whole point is that you're losing weight. You're never not. So that's like, come on now.
I mean, I feel like there were some weeks where it was like I would gain a pound. Mm-hmm. And then by my Thursday weigh-in, I would have lost it again. But I was so hard on myself for those 3 days that I was up a pound. And looking back at it now, I'm like, well, that was just ridiculous. But I think that goes along with failing wasn't an option for me.
Right.
Like, at all. Failing I was a big
motivator.
It is a big motivator because, I mean, you had motivation with your brother who had surgery first.
Yep.
And so you did not want to disappoint him.
No, I was like, I mean, I felt like I was in full competition mode at that point.
Yeah. And which, you are a competitor.
I am. I like to compete.
Yeah.
I do. Well, because like, girl, you all know, like, growing up in a woman world, like, you want to talk some shit? All right. I'm the best of them, but I need to have all the backup.
Yeah.
So I need to know exactly what I'm talking about when I'm talking about it so I can play ball with all of you.
Yep.
So that's kind of like why this whole research and nerd stuff that happens, because it's like, you're not going to, don't try to out BS a BSer. And I'm just as smart as you. You just don't think that I am. So
exactly.
So that's kind of been my whole thoughts on that.
Yeah.
That was the lamest end ever.
I forgot where we're going.
I don't know. Oh, so
I'm so sorry, Marcus, with the edits on this.
What was I talking about? Oh, failing.
Yes, yeah, so failure. Yeah.
So competition, I'm not a competitor.
No.
Like, I could care less if I win at something, but I've never been a sports fan.
No.
I've never been good at sports other than golf.
You don't even like games.
I don't like games.
Mm-mm.
I like puzzles, but that's not really competing.
No. Nope.
So I don't like games. I just don't like competing. I don't see the point in it because I don't really care if I win or not.
Right, right.
So I think with my not failing, it was basically I was not failing at my own health.
Yeah.
Ever again.
Yeah.
And when I decided to have surgery, that was the agreement I made with myself.
Yeah.
So it was purely with myself.
That's like, great.
That was a great way to do it. Yeah. No failing. That was, and I think that's what I told myself every single day. And I kind of still tell myself that every day, like, you're not failing today.
Right.
And if I look at somebody, like we were talking about earlier, a donut, you're eating a donut. And or we were talking about it last episode about eating a donut. If I'm looking at that donut, I can have that donut.
Right.
Technically, I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
But is it worth telling myself that I failed because I ate that donut?
Yeah.
Is the way I look at it.
Yeah.
And there's certain things like having a French fry. Okay, I can have a French fry.
Yeah.
I can have two French fries.
Yes.
But as long as it doesn't continue into anything else,
right,
I'm not failing.
I think that's
if I eat that
legit
donut, that is failing.
That's a huge setback.
It is.
And then is it worth all the mental drama about it?
Well, and not only the mental drama, but that sugar is going to cause me pain, physical pain, because of my lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and fibromyalgia.
Yeah, so you'll get physical pain and mental pain.
Exactly. Okay. So technically, that's a failure in my book.
Yeah.
So, no.
Because for you, you compromised your health, because that's how mm-hmm. you were competing with yourself.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. Yep. I like that.
Yeah. So I think that's another thing with, you know, referring again back to body over mind over body,
mm-hmm.
that's one way that I can keep my brain in check is saying that to myself. Like I say it a lot on this podcast. Is it worth it?
Yeah, it's not. It's really not.
Yeah.
So
it is not worth the physical pain.
No. And it's all about discipline. So,
it is. It definitely is.
And we actually crave discipline. So it's kind of like,
I think we both do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's totally fine.
Yeah.
So, but there are some tips.
Okay.
That you can do.
Okay.
For your body appearance after weight loss. So this is per experts. So okay. I'll have a link.
Awesome.
This is like maintain a realistic perspective by reflecting on goals you set for yourself.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So just set yourself just realistic. Mm-hmm. They're called SMART goals, basically.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you just need to do like the power. Like it doesn't have to even be weight related.
Okay.
Like just being like how you know I've been wanting to like be able to run a mile without stopping.
Yeah.
Things like that. So that way it's not focused on if I lose any weight. It's all about that getting that goal. And making it reasonable and achievable. So that will help you with body dysmorphia.
Okay.
Write out and say positive affirmations daily.
I love that one.
I know you're big about that one.
I love being positive. And don't get me wrong, I can be negative.
Yes.
But I think that it's very important for people to stay positive.
Yeah.
Because if you're negative all the time, I mean, just stick yourself in a room, stay by yourself. Like,
yeah, they say it takes 5 affirmations to erase 1 negative or something like that.
Yeah. So for every negative thought that you have about yourself, you're supposed to say something positive or 3 separate sayings of something
3
positive
separate things. Yeah.
To retrain your brain to think positive.
It sounds like a lot, but we can totally do that.
It's really
like,
not.
I've done it.
I mean, you could be like, I like your hair.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're looking really good.
Yeah.
I think you're wearing that shirt really good. I mean, they could be super stupid.
Oh, mine was like, you're rocking that outfit.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, you're beating those boys in that competition at work.
Exactly.
Like, you're killing it here. So I'd have to like get outside the body part because I think that's helpful.
Well, I think that's a part of body dysmorphia, though, is that a lot of what you think about is your body.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the name.
I mean, totally. And that's why we have to get outside of it, because it's like, read something interesting,
mm-hmm.
you know, like do something different, get your mind off of it.
Yeah. Even if it's not anything, like just watch a funny movie.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just needed to have that positivity, laughter. I mean,
I'm obsessed with comedians.
Yeah, you are.
I mean,
I can't stand them.
I love them.
Personally.
I love all of them. So even the bad ones, I love you too. because it's super entertaining and it keeps me laughing and it keeps me positive and they're doing their job. Like mm-hmm. they want to make people laugh and I need those. I need the laughs and it keeps me keeps me level-headed because, you know, like the dopamine that happens with laughs.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's super entertaining.
Mm-hmm. And I love reading.
Right, like, you do.
I read all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's very nice to have that, you know, again, goes back to self-care.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're taking that self-care by watching something that you would totally enjoy.
Yeah.
And by laughing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing self-care by reading a book.
Yeah, taking your bath.
Yeah, like you taking love a your bath. Yeah. So there's positivity all around you.
Yeah.
I think if you just take a second to step outside of your body.
Yeah, slow down.
Slow down. Think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's there. It's just sometimes, some days other are harder than others.
Yes. Like, you know how your Apple Watch reminds you to breathe?
Oh, I turn that off. I hate that.
Like, that's really...
I know how to breathe at this point in my life.
No one's telling you you're stressed. But that could be your thing. You can, like, listen to that and follow mm-hmm. those instructions because it's super yeah. helpful.
Yeah.
It keeps your anxiety low.
It does.
So that's really what you want.
Yeah. So. I think just keeping your anxiety in check by... And I think being positive helps with keeping your anxiety in check.
It does. It keeps it at bay.
You can totally cut that part out if you want, uh-huh. because that didn't make sense in my own head.
Don't worry about it.
All right, cool.
So you also should believe that you have the right to be proud of your efforts. Don't let anybody take that away from you.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah. So be proud of all the efforts that you've put into losing weight, whether that's eating really good, mm-hmm. doing your workouts.
Yeah.
Talking to people about it.
Yeah.
Just be proud of all of the things that you're doing.
Even if you're having a crappy day and you're just going to talk to your friend.
Yeah.
Or you're going to talk to your therapist or you had a good doctor's appointment. You know, any of those things can be a step up. So.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know I get on myself if I didn't work out one of the days. And mm-hmm. it's like, you just worked out 4 days in a row. So.
Yeah.
Stop being so hard at yourself. Like, why are you?
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, I could go again. I'm not too sore. You know, like, that's what you start telling yourself. And then you're like, no, you need a break. So.
Yeah. If you're going 4 days in a row of working out, you are allowed to take a break.
Yeah.
It is okay.
Yeah. I do Monday through Thursday and then Saturday.
You're crazy.
That's what I did. It was a great routine. It's fine.
I'm very proud of you, but you're crazy.
Thank you. Start meditation practice, which is kind of goes to like the Apple Watch, making you kind of breathe.
Yeah,
to help you get more centered and grounded.
There's several meditation apps out there.
Oh, totally.
And some of them are paying ones, but then there are others that are completely free.
And one of the ones on here is exactly what you said, by the way. It says take photos of yourself to see the progress.
Yeah.
So that one you are already doing. And that's probably why you're keeping yourself so positive these days. So
I think I'm a big believer in all things photo.
You are.
I love to take photos. In the past, before I had weight loss surgery, I would always notice when I gained too much weight because I stopped liking myself in photos.
Okay.
So then having weight loss surgery and everybody always says, take photos. Even if you don't want to, take photos because you're going to want to look. Of course, I didn't.
Oh, and I didn't.
I didn't take near enough. So I, of course, scrounged through photos to see.
You took plenty, girlfriend.
In most people's vision, yes, I took plenty. Yeah. In my vision, I did not take enough.
No.
I wish that I had taken more of like my non-scale victories there and stuff like that really I could look back at. Almost like a journal.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, I hit that non-scale victory. And I've got some which are like going down in shirt sizes or pant sizes. Or there was one at the very beginning of my journey where I literally parked across the parking lot and walked into Safeway.
Yay.
Went shopping for food. Carried my bags with no cart back out to my car and then drove home. And that was an amazing non-scale victory. And I'm so glad that I took that photo.
Yeah.
Like, even if I probably looked like an idiot standing outside taking a picture of Safeway, but I'm so glad now that I took it.
Well, because before that would be like work.
Yeah.
Like that would be a hard day and yeah. or you couldn't even get to it.
No, there was no way. There was some, like most of the time, my husband would have to drive me.
Yeah.
We would park in the handicap spot, which yeah. is close. We would walk in. He would do most of the like actually like shopping.
Right.
He would carry all the bags out to the close part he's bought and then he would drive home.
Yeah.
So there was like 4 non-scale victories in that one photo. And yeah, I didn't basically. Even realize it until just now.
Yeah. Basically. Because yeah. you're parking out to the other thing. Mm-hmm. You're by yourself.
Exactly.
You carried everything yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
so good job on already doing that.
Thank you. So. And to all of you, take lots of photos.
Yeah, just take them. As much as you're like, I don't want to.
Even if you don't share them, use them for yourself to just show you how far you've gone.
That's what I should have done, was just be like, these are for me.
Yeah. But I think it's hard. It's hard to take photos when you aren't necessarily happy with yourself.
That's true.
For all of you out there, you're hearing it. Take the photos.
Take the photos. Yeah, because even here, it's like view yourself as a whole person, not just a person who's losing weight.
Yeah.
So I think that's why when I was doing like the whole affirmations, I started going outside of the weight because you need to, because you are more than just that.
Yeah. Your whole self is not described just by a number on a scale.
Yeah, because I used to, like, during this process, I realized I'm not just a mom anymore. I'm not just the weight. Like, I'm actually Melanie. These are things that I like, I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
These are things I listen to.
Yeah.
You know, like, realizing who I actually was as a person. So, like, I like this one because I feel like that can really relate to just, hey, you're more than just this.
Yeah.
Just being bigger. Or smaller, or the number that's on the scale. So,
yeah.
I think you touched this in this one. Keep a gratitude journal to focus on all the positive in your life.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to necessarily be an actual journal. Like I said, take photos. Use that as your journaling. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not real great at writing. I fully admit it. But I can take some photos. Yeah. I can do that.
You can tell a story with photos. Yeah.
So if you look at my Instagram, it's basically a journal just with photos.
Yeah, it's all there.
Yeah. So I think that's a great one.
Yeah. And give yourself the time to adjust to the physical, psychological, and the emotional changes that come with weight loss.
Number one.
Yeah. Is the time.
Yep.
Give yourself the time.
Are you guys ready for one more quote that I found?
Yeah. Bring it up.
So it says, anxiety happens when you think you have to figure out everything all at once. Breathe. You're strong. You got this. Take it day by day.
Mm.
Which is perfect for that.
Seriously. I like this next one. I didn't ever think of this one. So dress for your new body or hire like a stylist or have a friend to help you find clothing that makes you feel good.
Hey, that reminds me. We still need to do that.
We do still need to do that. I wanted Kelly to dress me.
Yes.
Because Kelly has some cool style and...
Well, thank you.
I kind of want to see what she would think they'll look good on me.
Yeah.
So I'm a little curious.
Maybe that could be exclusive content.
That could be fun.
Kelly takes Melanie shopping and dresses her. Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, and then share your journey with others. So that's helping me right now. So
yeah. Totally therapeutic talking about it.
And really the last thing is just if it gets too bad, then you should definitely seek a psychiatrist or a therapist.
I think that should definitely be a big key point, is that it doesn't have to get to that. It doesn't have to get extreme before you can go talk to somebody.
Correct.
Even if you're having very mild symptoms or you're just having a rough day, don't feel like you can't go talk to somebody.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a therapist. It could be a friend. It can be your mom. It could be your husband. Any of those people.
Just someone. Share it with someone.
Talk about it. Because that's how you're going to kind of, for me at least, process what's going on.
Yeah, because I think with me not sharing it with other people, I'm starting to realize certain things as we're talking. It's like I didn't want to feel stupid.
Yeah.
I felt like I was dumb. I was feeling these things. I was like, well, you did it to yourself. You just got to buck up and handle it.
But there's so many people that go through this exact same thought process.
Yeah.
And which is one of the reasons why we are doing this podcast.
100%.
Is to help all of you and make sure that you make sure that you guys know that there is support out there.
There's a whole world of us that want to help support you.
Yes. So. Yes. Well, thank you guys for joining in on this double episode of Mind Over Body and Body Dysmorphia, part one and part two. We just want you to remember, don't let your mind bully your body.
Yes. No bullying yourself.
No. All right.
All right. Good night, thank everyone. Thank
you. See you next time.
Good night.
See you next time.
See ya.
Just cut that.
We're out.
Yep.
Peace out.
Peace. There
you
go.
Peace. You can use one of those random ones.
I'm using all of them.
Yes. So awkward. I love it.
Hey, listeners, if you enjoyed your time with us, please rate, review, and subscribe on any platform you get your podcast.
Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Join us on patreon.com/OSLP where you can get exclusive content.
We would like to give a big thank you to Anne-Marie Cruz for our logo,
Eric Vaughn for our music,
Nick Dukes for our graphic and web designs,
and of course, the most amazing producer in the world, Marcus,
with Juniper Productions. Thanks for listening to Our Sleep Life,
a podcast for patients by patients.